from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
This is going to piss someone
off.
Now, even I would say, don't do that.
Do it. Well,
tell me why it's wrong.
No, explain.
Tell me why.
He was much better than it, or than The Miz. Much better.
I will say I will disagree with it because I feel like the other guy has more memorable moments. But, I mean, say it. I'm always down to get a reaction.
Miz was a better talker than Brett. Let me ask you this. Was Brett ever the top guy? Like, the real top guy?
No, but he was top three. Miz was never seriously
That's not
top
true.
Three.
That's
Miz,
not
Miz
true.
Doesn't have
that's
like a... That,
which,
Miz doesn't have
is
a...
Two?
That's not true. Miz was top three when he had the title. That's true.
Look, this ain't good. I was going to say that was a bad time for the business. Well, maybe it was a bad time for the business when the other guy was top
three. Diesel, Brett, like... Like, who was the third... Like, if it, Diesel, Brett, Taker, that's who it was. Like it was, I mean, and maybe like
who
like,
was it with the Miz?
Miz, John, and probably
Ugh.
Orton.
That
I probably
that two
Randy
and three
Orton?
Is nasty. That one with the Miz and not Orton. Maybe your three
and not John Cena.
Maybe your three is nasty then. If Miz is your three, you're in a tough spot.
Comparing him to Brett is nasty work. I'm not gonna lie. That's disrespectful. Like, I've been thinking about it. No, that's wrong. Like, Miz does not have like a Stone Cold Brett match or anything like that. He doesn't have that moment. That's wrong.
He don't have the I Quit match.
So wait a minute. Is that match more about Brett or more about Steve?
About both. They're both. Miz doesn't have moments like that.
I was just asking. I'm a broadcast journalist. I'm asking questions.
Miz did not tell Cena to go beat Umaga for him. Say, no, go. Just go get him. Miz did not tell Cena
Brett
to go get Umaga.
Brett was never the guy, though.
He wasn't, but he was a lot closer than Miz.
Mm.
Even though Miz had the title, but...
I don't know who to compare Miz to. He might be a legit one of one.
Nah, in the chat, the Matthews Master chat says Miz is Piper. I think that's actually
no. He's a good antagonist the way Roddy Piper was.
Help me out.
Piper came in as like the guy. Like he came in as a big deal. Miz was not a big deal.
Help me out though. Was Piper ever a title holder?
No. But he was. But he was with Hogan everywhere. So he wasn't beating Hogan, but like he was the guy who was getting, who's, you know, getting beat up by Hogan every night, you know, in front of.
Is he Chris Jericho? Like Jericho's probably better and stuff.
That's a good one.
Different
that
is a good
that's
one.
A good one. That, that yeah, a good yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good
I think
one.
That is better.
No, I was just asking. He's not listening because if he was listening, he would have sent like.
Dame 10, said, "You know who
he would have sent like 10 four-letter words by now."
Nah, Jericho's a good one.
Bret Hart might start talking about you in his interviews now.
I have a lot of respect for Bret Hart. I tell you, the absolute biggest mistake you can make is to read Bret Hart's book. Like, Bret just does not think he ever did anything wrong except slept with, you know, other women that weren't his wife. No drug. Like, he's the greatest wrestler in everyone from The Undertaker to Shawn Michaels to Diesel to everyone who has ever been in the ring with him had their greatest match with him every time.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone came up to him and cried when he lost and they cried when he left and cried when he retired. It's like, all right, bro. All right, man. Okay. Now, when he says Goldberg sucks, he's right. But still, that's just different.
I saw this tweet earlier. Is him making up with Vince McMahon the biggest Hell Froze Over event or moment in wrestling?
I think Punk coming back.
That was on there, too, for the tweet.
Yeah, Punk coming up. Yeah, in part, of, like, the way, like, that whole storyline was just awful.
Yeah.
You mean the greatest match of all time between him and Vince?
So
bad. That was embarrassing.
So bad.
That was...
so bad.
Dark situation.
Matt George in the chat says he wants to talk wrestling his entire segment. It's August 1st.
Come on, man. Let's rock, Matt George.
If there was ever a time.
Matt George, I ain't trying to... I'm having fun talking wrestling. But Matt George, I was listening to Locked On the other day. He had a good question.
Matt George has had a couple of dimes the last couple of weeks on... and I'm not just talking about me and you being on the show. I'm talking about like the he had
doing
the coach's thoughts on DeMar DeRozan. Yeah. That one was really
the
good.
The Sabonis one where he talked about Sabonis actually being a little underrated.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
By a lot of people.
What's the so I'm? I think I'm only one episode behind. What did I miss?
The latest one he had was with the question of whether. Just making the playoffs is acceptable for the Kings, for the team, and for the fan base. So, for instance, if the Kings did like being Team One, trademark Kenny Caraway, and made the playoffs and were eliminated in the first round, would that be okay? Or do they need to win a series? For people to be like, nah, they're making the right steps, they're doing
so
the right things.
People like who?
I would say the fan base and some media. Some media.
So I think there's a.
I think Matt might feel that way. We'll ask him, but I think he feels like they need to win a playoff series. I got out of the car before the episode was over.
I don't know.
They finished as like the 2 seed or the 3 seed and lost to the 6 or the 7.
So
that'd be pretty disappointing.
I was trying to. So that's what I was trying to formulate in my mind, like. Because I'm not as like sharp with the numbers as you guys are. It's 4 versus 5.
Yes.
All right.
Four,
so if they lose
3-6,
a 4-5,
2-7.
We're like, God damn it, that was disappointing.
No, 4-5.
They're
is
not
just,
taking
that even
forward
to
if they lose a 4-5.
So 4-5, you lose the 4-5 in the first round. No matter if you're the 4 or the 5.
Yeah.
It's understandable. But if you lose 3-6,
I'm gonna cop out. I'm gonna cop out because my feeling. The story of the season is important. If you're a 50-plus win team and you look really good and you lose, you know, if you're a 2 seed, I know that's a reach, but, you know, yeah, it's disappointing if you lose in the first round. If you are a you can have teams that have similar records and feel like, you know, a team, maybe they have 3 more wins. But they look like a substantially better team. You lose, like, if you're that team that looks substantially better and you lose, like, yeah, that sucks. If you're with a team that you were 1 game better than in the regular season and, you know, you guys have fought it out a couple of times or whatever, like, it's different. I feel like the context of the season is important. But I think what, you know, and we'll talk with Matt about this in about an hour, who are the people we're referring to? Are we talking about us? Are we talking about Kings fans? Are we talking about God Bontemps, for God's sakes? Like, who are we? who are we referring to?
I was thinking about that on the way in. Scott really said that was the biggest asset.
It's crazy. For those guys, King's probably got to win the freaking title.
Two of them.
Right. Yeah. Well, they're not going to be able to do that again. Like, oh, goodness gracious.
After they won the title. Well, that was cute. They're not going to do that again.
No team. I mean, how many guys got to get hurt for this team to win a championship?
I mean, the question really is, are they going to be able to do this in 2031?
The question is, if the Lakers hadn't missed the playoffs, could they have beaten the Lakers?
I won't be on the fence with this one. And I will say a playoff appearance is a successful season. No matter what happens in the playoffs,
so
no matter what seed they are.
I will, and it'll be fun because I'm going to speak for Matt, and then Matt can speak for himself. But is this team a championship contender? Right now, today, the addition of DeMar DeRozan, everything we have right now, today, August 1st.
No.
Sacramento Kings championship contender.
No.
Okay. Let's say we go into the season in October. Not a lot has changed. If you want to put Rob Williams on the scar, great. We could do that. Mm. That team a championship squad?
No.
Okay. So you want to build towards something. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to look at your roster, look at your coach, your front office, and say, okay, we have the building blocks for something. And if you get into the playoffs, you lose. Like, it's like, okay, the question shouldn't be, was this a failure or was this a success? It's, do you have the building blocks to go further? Do you have the building blocks to get better? Do you have the resources you need to take that step to being a championship contender? And I'm so, so sorry I keep using this analogy, but as long as we have this conversation, it works. Mm-hmm. That was Portland. Mm. Portland had a team that was good. They had a superstar that was electrifying. That superstar won them series mm-hmm. in the playoffs. But in the end, their building blocks didn't really allow them to get better. Mm. So they were what we saw for like 8 or 9 years. Mm. And more teams than not are a version of that than Denver.
Yeah.
Or Boston, or whoever.
I'm with you. I mean, you look at, I'm just throwing out a team. Look at Indiana. Indiana's really good. They're doing some really good stuff. I don't think right now. I don't believe they're going to be better than the Knicks or the Celtics in the next 2 or 3 years. Like, I just don't. Maybe Benedict Mathurin elevates to another level. Then Nembhard elevates, maybe some stuff like that happens. But with Siakam and Haliburton as your two best players, and then you throw Miles Turner in there as well, maybe like your third, I always feel like they're going to be searching for a little bit more. Like, they're not a finished product. And if you're searching for a little bit more, that means you're not there.
Right.
But they're really good, right? Like, I think they're going to be good next year. Maybe a top three, top 14.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Cleveland is another example. Really good, but they're going to be looking for a little bit more. To your point, most teams are like that. Most teams are like that. So how do you define success in that situation, I guess is what I'm asking. Because we're all playing for a championship. We all want them to win a championship. They all want to win a championship. But, you know, at this year specifically coming up, I think if the Kings make the playoffs, it's not a failure. You get back on track as a franchise, as being a playoff team. You fell off a little bit last year, and you get back on track to establishing yourself as a consistent playoff team. To me, that's a success for the long-term build of this franchise.
Okay, I might answer you. Wendy Lou and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Matt George is going to join us in just about an hour from now. He is demanding that we talk wrestling when he joins us.
Let's do that.
Of course, it's SummerSlam weekend. So
We're still talking Kings, but I just do want to give a quick shout out to Lamb Park Little League. This weekend, they'll be starting a tournament where if they come out of that the victors, they'll be going to Williamsport. I think they said it's the first. They could be the first Sacramento area team since 1983 to make it to the Little League World Series.
Spectacular.
So good luck to them. Absolutely. I remember Airport Little League lost in like the regional finals maybe about 10 years ago. I feel like that's the closest we've gotten out here in a while. I could be wrong, but that's the last one I remember. So shout out to Lamb Park Little League, man. Do your thing, man.
Every kid who plays baseball, like, growing up and stuff, is like your dream is to play in the Little League World Series. I remember when, like, I realized, oh yeah, we're not Little League. I was so pissed off.
Yeah, that's what happens with LYB. We're Cal Ripken, so they didn't even have a chance.
I think we were Cal Ripken to a like pony or something like that.
Oh no,
damn Cal Ripken. salute, man. That's dope. Yeah. Give us your question again.
So, listening to Locked On with our guy Matt George, and he was kind of just talking about what would be deemed as a success for the Kings this year. It feels like there's no argument that they should make the playoffs, and that's the expectation. But is just making the playoffs the expectation, or is winning around in the playoffs now the new expectation to show a sign of success? I'm of the belief, I feel that if they get back on track as a franchise and they get into the playoffs, I want to win just like everybody else. Yeah. But it's gravy at that point. You establish the goal that I had for you. Get back to being a playoff team. And then next year we'll work on adding to that, making sure you stay winning a series at that point. But I don't know. I think I want to know what you think about it, Jesse, you know, 916-909-1320, because I don't think everybody sees it that way. I think there's a good amount of people Kings fans, mm-hmm. and even people in the media who feel like, no, it's not a success unless you win a playoff series this year.
At this point, I think it'd be a success. Like, I'll just pick that side. I think it'd be a success if they just made the playoffs and say they got eliminated in the first round. But I'll also say, like, I think there's a potential point where it's like, this team, like, we see them play throughout the season. Oh, yeah, they're really good. They left something on the table in the playoffs. Like, where they could have probably achieved more. I could see them elevating to that.
I think there's a point as a team where you have to, like, there's various phases that I think teams go through. We always hear the term rebuilding a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And, of course, we've heard that a lot in Sacramento. But rebuilding. And the Kings right now are in a place where they need to establish. I think they're still very much in the established phase where they have to show, like, yo, this is a competitive team. This is a team that's gonna make the playoffs. They're gonna fight in the playoffs. Of course, the expectation should always be to win in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But the idea that if they lose in the first round, it's a failure. This feels like a different version of that cliche that people like to use. Well, they're ahead of schedule. The Oklahoma City Thunder last year, they were ahead of schedule. Okay, I don't know who creates these schedules and who determines like how someone is supposed to do something, but we can put it together in our own mind. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City just missed out on the playoffs. Their schedule was to make the playoffs. If they could win around, maybe they win around. But what they did is they wound up being the top seed in the Western Conference. Right. And then all of a sudden it's like, they're way better than what we thought they were. Kings, no one cares about. Like they're saying a pick swap in 7 years is more valuable than the six-time All-Star that they just acquired.
Right.
And it's still the Kings establishing who they are. The difficult part about that is if they lose in the first round of the playoffs, right? I still think, well, you're establishing something that's great. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of that, or the flip side, RP.
Flip side.
Yep. It's like, well, you're down to probably a year left with DeMar. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron's a year older. Domas is a year older. Okay, what exactly are we attempting to do here? Because you stood still last year, okay? You did. That was the decision you made. You didn't this year. All right. What it really comes down to is, do you think Harrison Barnes in a swap out with DeMar DeRozan, does that get you a playoff series win? Is that a step to being a championship contender? Because while I don't expect them to say it as much as they did last year, Mike and Monty are thinking championship contenders. Is this team good enough to be a championship contender? And how can you make it one if it's not? And that's where I always get stuck, because it's like the disappointment for me, I'll only speak for me. When they lost to the Warriors, that was pretty easy to digest. It sucked more because it was the Warriors and less that it was the first round. It sucked more because I really did think Sacramento was better than Golden State. Mm-hmm. Like, and we can fantasy book this. They would have beat this team and they would have beat that team. None of that matters, right? If they had lost to Minnesota, like, it would have been like I don't care. Like, they lost. Like, it was fine. There was very little sting to losing in the playoffs, meaning the first round of the playoffs. The sting came from losing to the Warriors. It was like, they're better than they could have beat them. But you got nowhere last year. Mm. Not even back to that spot.
Right.
And that was tough. And so you made a move to take you somewhere, and where that ultimately gets you, we have no idea. Yeah. I just don't think anyone believes it gets you to a title. I do think this team is better with DeMar DeRozan, and I'm trying to, like, I don't know how to put a number on this. I think they're substantially better. I think this is a much better basketball team than it was last year because the addition of DeMar DeRozan and what you can likely do with him on the offensive end.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got sidetracked. They announced Mike Trout was out for the year.
Didn't know he was Not healthy.
He's been.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's tough, man. Because
that career is starting to have a different storyline to it.
Feels like 2-3 straight years of just not being able to stay on the field.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's tough.
And the Matthews Mattress Chatty House, Kyle Randa, our guy, says if they got like a seed with a home court advantage and got swept, that's not a success.
Well, see, Kyle, that's what I was saying at the beginning. The story of it is important.
It is.
Just saying win in the first round or lose in the first round, I can't tell you if that's successful or not. I have to know the story. That scenario that Kyle presented, that is a failure.
I don't think it's a failure.
That's tough.
I think it's a disappointing.
That's tough.
It is, but I think
that's tough.
I think it's a disappointing ending. If they got a seed with home court advantage,
you're 1, 2, 3, or 4 in that situation. Yeah,
and that means you probably won like 52, 53 games, and you got swept. I mean, it's a little drastic, but it's possible. The ending, it would be a bitter, tough pill to swallow for a successful season. That's a successful season. You won 53 games. You ain't won 50 games in I don't know how long.
So let's okay. All right. Okay. Again, you're filling in we're creating completely fictitious angles here.
Well,
that's great.
We are, but I'm also saying if you get to the playoffs, I don't think you have a failure of a season. That's kind of the crux of what I'm saying.
So let's take what you just said and go with what I said. Mm-hmm. You lose 4 straight in the playoffs, home court advantage, 51 season, everything you just said right there. You get swept in the playoffs. How do you build from that? Like, what do you learn from that, and how do you build off of it?
I
know it's important because it's not happening. You have to make it happen in your brain.
Right.
But to me, I'll tell you why I asked that question. I don't know what you take away from a sweep.
You take away, for me, you would take away from that, whatever's going on. And once again, you have to see the series play out. But, you know, you take away from it, hey, there's some areas where we got to improve. We got to get better. Maybe whatever the two-guard situation we had last year, we got to improve on that. Whatever the bench situation is, you know, they got us 50 wins. It's not good enough for what we're trying to do in the playoffs. Maybe they went back to scoring a bunch of points and, you know, they get in the playoffs and the defense isn't there. Well, we got to find better ways to defend. But it's more for me, it's more of an evaluation than it is saying it's just a failure. Because when I hear failure, I feel like major changes need to come. I don't feel like right now how I feel today in that situation. I don't know if major changes need to come. If you won 52, I'll say 52 games,
okay. All right.
Got swept. I don't know if major changes need to come.
Hang on. Okay, this took a little longer than I thought. Hang on for another second, because I got an idea. Hang on. All right, standings. I just need to see the number because I don't know the number.
Well, and real
quick, I got the number.
Real quick, because Aldrin says KC is too optimistic. Y'all know Kings fans. If Kings get swept with home court advantage, the fan base will be devastated. I'm telling you what
the fan base will absolutely
they can feel however they want.
But that wasn't the question.
I'm telling you what I deem and what I think should be deemed as a success or a failure. Of course they're gonna. If the Kings lost in the finals, there'd be some Kings fans that said, "Well, you know, you don't get these chances all the time." Like,
Let me ask you something. How do you feel about the New Orleans Pelicans?
Solid team. I think the Kings are a little better.
You think there's a chance they fall out of the playoff race, though, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
it's a 49-win team last year.
I don't think they fall out of the race, right? Like, I think they'll be about the same where they were. They were a 7 seed last year, right? 7-8. I don't think they fall below 10.
I think they were
10. They were 7.
I think they were 7, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 49 wins last year. And I think swept in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And their general manager dubbed their season a failure. He's done nothing since then, by the way, because it's mechanically impossible for those who tuned in that day. But what would make the Kings scenario different than that Pelican scenario?
That 49-win play-in situation. That's the difference for me. If you're top four seed, certified, verified in the playoffs.
Clippers were 51 wins. That was four. I'm just saying.
But also the Clippers had different expectations.
No. I'm sorry. I didn't communicate that properly. The Clippers were the four seed. I was trying to make the difference between the seven seed and the four seed was only two games.
True, but it's the
and the scenario Kyle put out there was home court, which means there were one, two, three, or four.
Yeah.
So this was last year, but it was only a difference of two games.
Right. To me, it's the expectations. I would argue if I was a Pelicans fan, if B-Lo and JC down in Louisiana,
good show.
Last year wasn't a failure for the Pelicans. Griff said it was, and that's his expectations. Maybe that's internally their expectations. I don't look at the Pelicans right now as an outside observer, or if I had a show out there and say they had a failure of a season.
Last year was a failure.
For the Pelicans?
I think so. Wasn't a success. So this
they're
is
almost,
this,
they're so almost this is, the same kind this of situation.
Is, I disagree because this
no,
was
no,
a team.
I'm talking about like what we're talking about.
Oh.
Two years ago, they had a very promising year. They still got into the play-in, but it's a very promising year. Pushed the one seed, I think it was Phoenix, to six games. Everything was encouraging. Willie Green was crying at the end of the game, you know, and everything was encouraging. They came back last year, had a bunch of injuries, and they didn't make the playoffs. Much like the Kings situation here, right? You make the playoffs, come back, have some injuries, maybe some adversity. You don't make the playoffs. You come back this third year. You get in through the play-in. You make the playoffs. You got swept. Didn't have home court in that scenario, but you get swept. I don't look at that year as a failure for them.
Okay.
And you do, though.
I do.
Why is it a failure for them?
Well, because unlike Sacramento, and this is where the scenarios aren't, you know, an A to A comparison here, is they've had years of buildup. Like this was a team that everyone was high, and it was, well, if Zion is just healthy at the same time as Ingram, or if Ingram's just healthy at the same time as Zion, boy, when these guys get on the same page, it's like, well, they were kind of together last year. And in the end, all they were just the death of Sacramento. Other than that, what was Ingram New Orleans? New Orleans was all over the place. Yeah, you know, he did. But I don't think he got hurt for a large chunk of the season, did he?
I want to feel like he was out the last, close to like the last 2-3 weeks late into the season.
I was going to say, I thought he played 60 plus games.
And you can make the argument that kept them out of the top six.
You could, except the fact they never 64. He played 64 games last year.
Okay.
But that still ties into what you said. One game short of the marker. Damn, B.I. what did B.I. average last year? 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. I don't know.
I think, like I said, it felt like they were all over the place.
There was a minute where we said, no, they're done. Like, they're certified. Like, they're in there. And then they weren't.
Right. Yeah, towards the end of the season, and they kind of faltered. But I would say their scenario is a lot closer to what we're talking about right now. I know you talk about years of buildup, but like actually, maybe there wasn't the years of buildup for the Kings, but actually starting the clock,
yeah,
they made the playoffs. They got in through the play-in, so it wasn't the same as the Kings being the three seed, but they made the playoffs, had a nice little showing. Then next year, they didn't make it. It's kind of like the Kings. King being team one, made the playoffs. Second year, being team two, trademark in the care what, did not make the playoffs. Last year was the third year for the Pelicans. They found a way to get into the playoffs, got swept. You're saying that's a failure. So in this scenario, with being team three, if they find a way to get into the playoffs, they get swept, like Kyle said. That's a failure, or doesn't matter where they're at. Because, like I said, the Pelicans got in 49 wins through the play-in. If the Kings get in 53 wins, top four seed, and get swept, does that change whether or not you think it's a failure or not?
De'Aaron and Domas could make a million All-NBA teams, and they're never going to be considered the one. Mm. Brandon Ingram used to be a Laker. He's got an extra little, seasoning on it. Not that he's not a great player. He is. But he's got extra seasoning on him because he was a Laker.
Yeah.
Zion was the one. The one. And so the expectations for them are different. Griff is loved. Loved across the league and all their little media people. Monty? Liked, I guess. I don't know.
Liked.
But they love Griff.
Yeah.
So they're built up in a different way. The Kings have never been built up the way that New Orleans has. I think the measurement is completely different because the expectations are different. When you're under the radar, or maybe that's not even the proper term, when you're just flat out like disrespected the way that Sacramento is, this is where it kind of comes into your advantage. Mm. You can build. You work on your own time clock.
Yeah.
When you got a guy on your squad who is the one, and he's under a lot of scrutiny, but when he is the one, expectations are different. Mm. And that's why I think Griff felt the need to say publicly, yeah, this was a failure. We tried some things out. It's clearly not working. Mm. He felt that pressure because he knows he's got Zion Williamson on his team. Mm. Kings don't have that. Kings can work on their own clock. I think Griff, if I had to guess, I think David Griffin regrets saying that.
Mm, saying that it was a failure?
Well, saying that we got to make some changes. You know, we've tried this and it's not working. Buddy, like, what have you done? Mm. It's a lot easier to say we've got to make changes.
Right.
It's easier to trade Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter for, you know, peak LeBron James or Steph Curry, like, than it actually is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what David Griffin is facing. And now he's got to figure out a way to tell his head coach, all right, Willie, maybe we couldn't really make those changes we were talking about, so let's find a way to go get a win.
Griff would be like, all right, Willie, like, first of all, will you stop crying?
All right. I saw that coming a mile away. Let's get to Ross. 916-909-1320.
I love Willie Green, man.
Why
would I not like Willie Green?
You hate
Willie Green was on the 2001 76ers. Of course I love Willie Green.
You hate all black coaches.
He might have been on the 02 Sixers, though. But Willie Green, my dog.
Of course
you would define the difference.
Man. What's up, Ross?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, Willie Green crying episode could make the 1,000. That was pretty
good. Well, yeah, it's a 2-year bit here at this point with Jesse and Kenny.
Man, jumping off on the Kings, Pelicans, I think, in my opinion, yeah, they're good, but I think Kings fans really hold them to a different account because they got swept last year and three of those games weren't close, but talking on the Kings on the same subject, I don't think first-round playoff exit is a failure this year. Monty didn't go out and trade three first-round picks for a player or anything crazy. He made a pick swap 7 years from now. So, really, I think this is an established year. You re-signed Brown. You kind of bought Keegan some time with DeRozan. And really think DeRozan gets us over the hump. There's a lot of things just his free throws alone, I think, brings us some respect from the refs, which we just haven't ever gotten. And the final thing is this team has been really bad at home the last 2 years. And if they can figure out a way to get, you know, maybe 10, 11 games above 500, we've only been 6 and 7 games above 500 the last couple of years. So I really think that could take us to 50 wins, and that's a win this year.
Good stuff, Luke.
Good job, Luke. Spoken like a true coach.
We appreciate you, Ross. Thank you, my man. Willie Green, by the way, 0304 Philadelphia.
That's right. I remember that was my guy, Willie Green. He still is my guy. I cried when the 11-year-old, I think they were 10 at the time, when the 10-year-olds lost in Las Vegas.
It wasn't the first quarter of the game.
That's a good point, Jesse. That's a good point. I wasn't going to bring that up, but that is a good point.
I'm just saying, man.
So why is this
fans out there sniffling? Coach, draw up a play. Get up.
Y'all got that man crying earlier and earlier every time he comes up.
That's my boy, Willie Green.
Hey, speaking of our guys, did you see Deshaun Foster?
I did see that, man. Shout out to him. Shout out to UCLA. Good stuff.
I don't know, man.
What's wrong with you?
At this point,
No. That little speech was bad, bro.
It was.
The speech was bad, but the fact that he knows it was bad and they're making fun of it is great.
They should have threw USC on the shirt, too.
Oh, well, can't do that, but that would have been funny. For those that didn't see it, so for those who missed Deshaun Foster's awkward media day, you missed a classic. It was just incredible. But I don't know that you can buy these, but I think UCLA made shirts that said it had the outline of the California, it had the outline of the state of California, yeah. And it had the quote, "We're in LA."
And Foster was wearing it. He was wearing
it. Yeah, he was wearing it in front of the media.
Yeah.
Which I thought was terrific.
That was pretty cool. So with situations like that, I mean, in a weird way, I don't want to say it's like, you know, there's no such thing as bad publicity, but nobody was worried about UCLA. Nobody was even thinking about UCLA in the Big Ten before that moment.
Yeah.
Now, at least there's like a rallying cry or, oh, Deshaun, hey, real talk.
Just
if there's 100, if there's 100 sports fans in this room right now, sports fans,
mm-hmm.
How many of them would have known Deshaun Foster is the head coach of UCLA?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like a lot. No?
Jesse, less than 20%.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay.
But now they know.
Well, they do now.
Right now they know. The recruits might know now. It's, oh, Deshaun, like, it's almost.
We're in L.A. UCLA. We're in L.A.
You know, ironically, that might have worked a little better for USC because you know this because I think you've been in that area a little bit more as well as it actually infuriates me when people in South Carolina say USC. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, my cousin got mm-hmm. accepted to USC. Oh, coming out like, no.
South Carolina.
It's not USC, bro.
Yeah, sit down, man.
Yeah, cut that
it's
out.
It's not USC.
Yeah, like you're South Carolina.
And they just do it religiously out there.
That's whack.
So if he was the head coach of USC, he could be like, head coach of USC, we're in L.A.
The head coach of USC, the real USC, not the one.
And those are my people out there in Columbia. Those are my people in South Carolina. But they, you know, my
of
cousin Walt.
They are. You're a big South Carolina fan.
I do like South Carolina. I've got family out there. That's what, come on now.
What's their hashtag again? I always forget.
They're the Gamecocks.
That's not the hashtag.
Well, I don't. It's
when they win a game, what do you tweet?
Hashtag Gamecocks.
No, come on.
I don't tweet anything when they win a game. I say, yo, what's up? Shout out Don Staley.
Yeah, when their fans tweet something out, what do they tweet?
I don't know, bro. You tell me. You seem to know. I don't know.
I'm asking you.
I don't know.
That's a wild hashtag.
It is.
We'll come back. Bill Belichick is a media personality. That is absolutely spectacular. We'll get you caught up on that. Plus, Matt George joins us. A couple more NFL questions before we shift our attention back to the Sacramento Kings. Actually, I'll decide during the commercial break.
Oh,
Stilo and Casey on ESPN 1320.
Hey, just real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to kill the bit or anything else like that. But when we have one of those longer breaks during KSFM, I think I'm going to get some ice cream.
Oh, look at that. Wow. Wow.
The setup is fantastic.
I told you there was a Sunday bar out there.
Yeah, it's a really good job. I mean, I won't be.
You didn't believe me?
I'm gonna just get the cookies and cream stuff.
Wow, look at this guy! All of a sudden, pro ice cream.
I mean,
a little flip flopper.
You tell Megan how much you were mad at her earlier.
Yeah.
I was talking to Megan while she's sitting out there in the kitchen. I was talking to Megan.
Did you tell her to go back and listen to the show when you said to hell with her baby and her stupid ice cream?
That would be false. Neither I didn't say that, and I didn't tell her to go back and listen to the show.
That's how I heard it.
KC said, "Would it kill you to cater some In-N-Out next time?"
Yeah,
come on, now that's a shower. That's a sprinkle.
Can we have?
Come on now, that's what needs to happen. So somebody around here have another baby, and we have an In-N-Out.
Aaron just handed you a hamburger like yesterday.
Yeah, that was nice. That was very nice of the tribal chief.
He just said, "Here, look, I don't even know whose this is. You can have it." And that's a shoot. That's what happened.
I was like, oh, double-double. Okay.
Almost yeah. threw it at him here, Kenny. I don't know. I don't even know whose this is.
Oh, it was Andy's. He doesn't want it.
The more important people don't want it, Casey. You guys can eat it.
I was like, well, thank you. I'll take that double-double. Yeah. Good stuff.
Hey, shout out to Gordon Hayward.
Yes.
He retired today.
Yes.
Did he never recover from that?
Nope.
Nah. He never
like
back. And understand
health wise or traumatic wise,
maybe a little bit of both.
That was tough. Like that was a huge moment. It was literally 5 minutes into the season. He was one of the biggest free agents that year. The move to Boston was almost kind of a joke at that point. Like everyone seemed to have known that's where he was going.
Yeah.
But, man.
Well, he gets hurt, and then the complete team dynamics are shifted when you get back, too.
Right.
Like, it's not just you and Kyrie's team. If anything, you're the fourth guy now. It's like,
man.
Then he just couldn't find his footing anywhere else.
Wow. Couldn't find his footing there. Couldn't find his footing anywhere.
And it was just one of those things, too. It was like, it probably took a lot away from his game.
Yeah.
You know, it might not ever, it definitely was never the same. You know what I mean? Some people, like we, the insiders talk about Paul George. He was able to work through that, but he'll tell you, I'll never be the same, you know what I mean, as I was before. How would you be? So, you know, he had a really good career based off of anything, just the NBA in general, but based off of how I remember him in college and what I thought he might be coming out of Butler. I didn't see him being an all-star. I didn't see him being a guy that people looked at as a max player, as looked at as a guy to build your franchise around, and that's what he ended up being.
He averaged 21.9 points per game his final year in Utah. And then his first year back with the Celtics, he averaged 11. And he built back up, but he never got to 21 again. He did get to 19.6. He was with Charlotte. That was 44 games. And I know no one cares about stuff like this, but from people who worked with him, like, he is a dope ass person. Like, Gordon Hayward was like one of the really, really good guys in the league.
He had a CJ McCollum type career. Really good. Made the All-Star team once. CJ, I don't think has ever made it, but just there was a really good player, consistent up until his ankle snapped off.
Yeah.
Good for him, though, that he was able to come back, play, and now end his career on his own terms. You know what I mean? Whether he was able to get back to where he was or not, you know, he got to play some more. Mm-hmm. You know, he got to still contribute some more in the league. Then when he's calling it quits, when he's calling it quits, it's on his term. So that's good to see. And it wasn't like a courtesy, my career's over, but let me come back for this 9 games, you know, to say I – no, he played a few more years, man. Never got another contract, huh?
He got one from Charlotte.
I was gonna say, I'm looking up his numbers right now. He got a couple bags.
I thought that was the Celtics contract.
I mean, the season's over, but
– sure.
I already got it pulled up.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Offseason means I can go back on spot track.
what's the number?
270 million.
Man.
Wow.
Salute.
Because I thought he was part of the Scary Terry trade, and that was the Celtics contract. But then he got another one.
Yeah, he got another one.
He got like a $60 million one.
Nah,
or something like that.
I think he got 100 and some chains from Charlotte. Oh. He actually played really well in Charlotte.
Yeah, he wasn't bad.
No, it was just Charlotte. Yeah. No one cared. And like that's a tough spot to be in. But he played pretty well there. What's tough for him is he played 73 games his final year with Utah. Obviously, the very traumatic debut with Boston. He played 72 games the year he returned. He only started 18. He never played more than 52 games after that.
Boston gave him $127 million, and then he got $120 from Charlotte.
Oh, wow.
Got that money, baby.
He got a bag.
Good money.
Good for him, man.
Good ball player. Yep. Good ball player announced his retirement today.
Mentioned this before the break, a little piece of throwaway news, but it is interesting. Bill Belichick is a media personality. He's going to be hosting a YouTube series with Underdog Fantasy. And honestly, last year really kind of gave us a little window into this. Like, Bill started doing some stuff with, I think he did some things with Pat McAfee. I know they did some stuff together during the draft. I think he did some stuff with Peyton Manning as well in I forgot what they're called, the Manning cast joints. Like, I think he did some things there. But apparently, I guess he's embraced it.
I don't think he ever coaches again.
No?
Nah. Head coach. I think he's done.
There was an article, I can't remember who wrote it. I actually didn't think much of it at first because it dropped a couple of weeks ago. I know I didn't, or a week or so ago. I know I didn't really agree with it, but it did catch my attention that Bill Belichick might loom over this season. Meaning, if someone who is expected to be something falls short, they have a championship coach that they can go to right away, should they go that route. And, McDonough was the first one that came to my mind. Because there's not a lot of guys you go to for that. Right. Or there's not a lot of teams.
Available guys.
Yeah, there's not a lot of teams that you go that you would think, okay, if it doesn't work out with him, we can go to Bill Belichick and he can get us to where we got to go.
Right.
Like, that's not going to work for a team that's, 3-8. Mm-hmm. But if Buffalo looks rocky, it wouldn't shock me.
I thought McDonough might have been in trouble after this.
McDermott.
Who's McDonough? McDonough's the announcer. Yeah, Sean McDermott. Thank you.
Drew Down throws it in the chat. I mean, Mike McCarthy's on the last year of his deal.
That's the next name I was going to bring up. Is Mike McCarthy.
You can bring in Bill, pay him whatever you want because he wants to pay Mike.
Point being, there are a few teams who could, pull the ultimate coaching trigger and run to him and see if he'll take it. Of course, they don't like to act like this how it works. They'll run to him to make sure he'll take it, and then they'll make the move.
TC,
come on, man.
TC's got his team in there. Dog. Maybe the Niners.
Of course,
maybe the 49ers. Who knows?
Run Kyle out of there. And
did you guys see that note, too? Yeah.
The real coach in.
Kyle Shanahan talked to Belichick and basically told him, you can do whatever you want here if you want to come work here.
Yeah. I ain't mad at him.
No,
I would have did the same thing.
What, you want defensive coordinator? What do you want?
How do we feel about the 49ers? Mainly, when I say that, I'm talking about Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, and it's really Kyle Shanahan, it feels like, who pulls the strings. They'll do whatever if they feel they'll get better. We've seen that a number of different times.
Yeah.
The Tom Brady stuff, we like you, Brock Purdy, a lot, but as of today, you're not Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
So if Tom Brady wants to play for us, we'll go
get
Tom Brady.
Yep.
Bill Belichick, hey, whatever you want to do. I know we got a defensive coordinator.
Yep.
If you want to oversee him.
Well, I don't think they had one at the time, to be fair, right?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's when they were still in that process. Gotcha. But it was like, if you don't want this position, we got a position for you.
Right. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, so do I.
And there's a level of transparency that I think makes it not an issue, right? Like, it doesn't ever feel like Kyle and John are ever trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes, players, anybody. They're like, this is kind of what it is. You know what I mean? And I don't know. Obviously, TC wouldn't feel the same way, but it doesn't seem like in a disrespectful way. It's just in a real way. Like, we always looking to get better.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.